Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Claudia Monticelli with another episode of Multiple Voices. My Multiple Voices podcast, true to its name, includes different series. For example, we have the Voices of Love, where we discuss relationships, the voice of empowerment, the voice of laughter and play, the voice of pleasure, and the magical voice of archetypes and how they change the way we live. But we also have the voice of memory that includes everything from history to discussions of past life regression. There's also writing voices, where we interview both seasoned writers and authors who have just started getting their feet wet with writing, and we learn what can work for you as potential writers. Our series called Voice of the Spirit discusses different forms of spirituality and religion. And then Channeling Voices is a series that covers what happens when you channel, but is also extended to mediumship. Take a moment to review this podcast if you've enjoyed listening, and leave a hearty 5 stars. I'd appreciate it. Enjoy your listening.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here with a man. I'm always here with a man most of the times, but who is this man? Now, this is Chris Plord. Chris, say hello to our audience.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Chris is in California. I'm speaking to him. He's in around Los Angeles. And why is Chris here? Well, you know, everybody has some form of specialization. Everybody has a story. Everyone has, and that's usually the case for all of my guests. But there are particular things about Chris, and I'll first introduce him and see if we can get the ball rolling with him. He is a coach, all right? He's been a coach for more than 20 years. And to get to be that, that's to be a coach, that's what I want to know. But he's also many other things, like all of us have many hats. He's a businessman, a father, a husband. He works with top athletes and well-known companies, organizations, celebrities, moms and dads, and even military special ops. So there's a particular clientele there. He was a former master trainer and presenter. He created and presented content with both nationally and internationally. He created it for both audiences nationally and internationally on the mental and physical aspects of training for peak performance in all areas of life. So, you know, you get the impression that it is geared toward athletes. Was that your main target, Nick, Chris, at the beginning?
Originally, it was, you know, being an athlete in college and coming out and competing in ultra endurance sports. It was about how could we perform at, and myself and my clients, at the very best. But, you know, to make a long journey short, it all comes down to the mental game. It all comes down to how we speak to ourselves, that inner coach that we have. Right. And what I found is, you know, the same concepts that you use to run a triathlon or a bike race or whatever it is you're doing, that type of philosophy, that type of mentality is what it comes down to run a successful business or to, to heal a relationship or to attract a relationship.
All right, now you're going too fast. You're already running. You're already running the race.
Okay.
And here I am. I want to know, who was Chris in high school? When you talk about sports, what kind of sports were you involved in?
In high school, I was in football and wrestling.
Ah.
So we did that. Very high, you know, one of the top high schools in the country. And so it was all about how well
performance.
Could we perform, you know.
Yeah, performance. Go, go, go. And also very male-dominated sports.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
well,
I mean, what to say? There is a topic. there is a topic that you suggested we might talk about is masculinity and integrated feminine, the integrated feminine in modern masculinity. And I thought to myself, well, do we want to go? I mean, how long an episode is this going to be? That's a long story.
We could go wherever you want to go, whatever's feeling right to you.
But also, there's a part before my guests come on. I have them fill out a pre-interview questionnaire. One of the questions is, what are your strong points? And usually people just lay it on paragraphs and paragraphs of their strengths. And when we get to the weaknesses, just a sentence or two. But in your case, they're even, you know, two sentences, very straightforward.
Right.
Now, you, like many other people, would like to talk to Theodore Roosevelt. If you had the chance, if you won a contest and you can speak to whoever you want to. Why? What does he mean to you?
Well, I think there was a couple things that really appealed to me about him. First of all, one of my favorite speeches or quotes is the man in the arena. You know, how he talks about not just being a part of life and watching it from the stands, but being in there. And really being involved and taking your bumps and falling down and understanding that success and failure are parallel with each other, that you need to get those scars, and how proud can you wear those scars? Not, you know, and a lot of people have a hard time with that. The second part is how he healed himself from losing his wife and I believe daughter, and you know, having this tragedy happen in his life, and how he took to nature and the parks, and to go and heal himself in nature. And then he made the national parks what they are today here in the States. I just think there's a lot that he went through, you know, internally to be the leader he became.
Yeah.
So it would be fascinating just to find that out.
Another topic that you mentioned that you're qualified to talk about is plant medicine, now that you mentioned parks and nature. And I'm wondering, before we get back to the high school area of your life, plant medicine, when did that come into your life?
About 8-9 years ago. You know, it was one of those things, again, about going deeper into ourselves. You know, a lot of people that being in Southern California, there's access to it quite a bit in these journey communities is what we'll call them. And eventually I did it. And my wife and I, both of us went to one of these evenings, these ceremonies. And it was just this eye opening or heart opening connection to all that's around us, to not only to what is here, what we were able to feel and experience, what we were able to heal within ourselves, the connections, but how we were able to connect to one another. So it kind of became this marriage to now this kind of spiritual partnership of internal growth. It was about allowing the intelligence of the plants to take us where we were going to go, and to discover a deeper part of ourselves. And it's been this amazing journey for 8-9 years now that became a huge part of part of our lives.
Since it is a huge part of your life, do you have specific products or brands? And what I mean brands in the wide sense, and I'll tell you why. When I hear plant medicine, I always think of Bach flowers, B-A-C-H. Dr. Bach, who creates little potions, and you take them drops at a time, a couple of drops, morning, night, and they heal so many different things. They're miraculous. I mean, they calm even a person like me, so hyper. I'm wondering if you've ever heard of them, B-A-C-H.
I have not that. My wife, though, is an herbalist, she's been indoctrinated into every plant that you can imagine. You know, what I'm talking about in this journey community is more about psychedelics, which in
we are way beyond that. The psychedelics that's way out in the field. Yeah, literally.
Okay.
Okay. So now let's get back to that high school moment, because did you continue the sports then after high school?
So then I moved out to California and became more of a from Boston. Sorry. I grew up in Boston, just south of Boston, a town called Brockton. Yeah. And so I've been out here about 22 years, and then I embarked on cycling and triathlon, mountain biking, ultra endurance sports. And that's when I became not only a huge competitor in those sports, but that's when I started coaching and really seeing
different age groups or what level?
No, different, just different people from all walks of life.
Oh, you know, coaching, people that were interested coaching, in not
becoming sports. Coaching, sports coaching, like cyclists, runners, triathletes, and, you know, just really getting involved in that. And then I became a presenter for various companies, different fitness organizations. So I'd get a chance to travel around the world and present, present to different companies, different, certify thousands of instructors. So, you know, it was a really fun journey
so,
to kind of
So that means,
do.
Let's say that you climbed mountains too. That was one of the topics that you suggested. You were, you have climbed the mountain and you've climbed two mountains.
Well, what I was referring to in that topic was the second mountain of your life, meaning like your second career. Right. I think a lot of us embark on certain careers in our lives and we realize, oh, is this for me? Is this what I really love? Is this fulfilling? And then whether it's a maybe a sickness, an illness, a death, or just an idea of I'm not happy. I want to go do this. And metaphorically, I refer to it as the second mountain in our life. And
so did that
that's what I love to help people do.
Did that come along with the psychedelics, that moment? I'm joking.
No.
I'm joking.
It could have. It could have. There's actually a great book about that. It's The Second Mountain, and he talks a lot about that and pursuing what you love, you know, in all areas of your life, not just in, you know, a lot of us are forced to do jobs where that's what we think we should do.
Okay. Now,
and now this is about doing
a person before me, but I'm saying in front of me because I have the benefit of seeing you on camera, who seems who comes off as being very, you know, well balanced, and he did, you know, that little word psychedelics did come out of the side of his mouth, but you know, very, very well balanced, right? Now, one of the topics that you mentioned, and I wanted to jump on that, but before we get there, a little more scraping the surface. Was disruption of patterns, because I told Chris, well, I love abstract thoughts and disruption of patterns. I know what a pattern is, and I'm wondering where he's going to go with that. And I'll give you that topic to dissect for me, but I'm going to turn it around first on you, because disruption of patterns for me, from what you've told me so far, is leaving the East Coast to go to California. There was quite a disruption of patterns there. But do you mean it negatively, this patterns, this disruption in a negative sense? Or, you know, that's what I'm wondering.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think a lot of people get into certain things in their life. They do certain things, whether they're good habits, a lot of them are bad habits, but they're no longer serving them. I think our patterns are ways of being we've established before the age of 20. And a lot of those things happen because of influences in our lives, whether it's parents, uncles, mentors. And so we created this way of being for a certain period of time. And then we get to a place in our lives and we go, this is no longer serving me anymore. This way of doing things, like going, like being in corporate, for example. You know, I have a business degree. I was always told that if you get a great job with an amazing company and have good benefits, you're going to be happy. And I did that. I worked for various companies throughout my life, and great companies. But I realized that that wasn't for me. That was someone else's idea of success. So my pattern that I had to disrupt was, oh, I love to serve and coach and help people develop into the best versions of themselves.
Okay,
and that's what I get to do.
But now, everything, you know, having heard you, maybe there's a different concept that I'm looking at, because you, at one point in time, you got married. Is that true? Okay,
sure did.
Now that is, in my book, a disruption of a pattern, because the pattern previous to that was a different lifestyle, right? And so there had to be some form of adjustment. Is that right?
Yeah, of course. It was coming in, but me when I met my wife, it was like, yes, was I dating a lot prior to that? And then I met her and I'm like, wow, there's something really amazing and special about her. Mm-hmm. So was it a disruption? Yes, but it wasn't a forced disruption. It was something that that I wanted to do. Something that that made me feel good being in her presence.
So this idea, the word disruption, what I'm getting at is the word disruption has a couple, you know, has two coins, like the side of, you know, there's two sides mm-hmm. to that. So sure. It could disrupt positively or it could disrupt negatively, right? And the pattern Absolutely. Could be Absolutely. Negative or the pattern could have been positive, right? So let Absolutely. Me ask you a question that, well, first, we're still in high school, right? We got to college. You were in the...
I think we're out in California now, but wherever. We'll start it from right? wherever it goes. Okay.
You're in California. And how long after you finished your education, that we never finished really, but how long after you graduated did you, got your degree, did you start in the corporate world? Did you start full-time employing, being a serious person work-wise?
Like, right after I graduated, I dabbled in the finance industry while I was in college. So I kind of worked mm-hmm. and did that. It was like, that was my first time seeing, no, this isn't really for me. And then when I came, I moved out to Utah for about a year, right before California, mm-hmm. Park City, worked and bartended and played and had fun and skied and all that. Right. It was, but then I got a chance to work for Xerox there. Mm-hmm. And again, second time
in Utah,
not really for me. Yeah. Yeah. Ah. Sure did. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so then I moved out to California mm-hmm. again, 22 years ago, and I worked for Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Right. So, again, not serious. For me. Right.
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah, like
right?
really good training programs, but not and you I did yet. Well, mm-hmm. but it wasn't my mountain yet, is what
yeah,
I'm talking
okay.
about.
We get to the mountain.
You see where we're coming? We're
yeah,
coming
I'm
around.
Getting. All right. Now mm-hmm. we're definitely in California, and you are definitely right, married, and you are, I know you're on the road to the mountain. All right. So the thing that I want to know is, I get the idea of what the disruption of patterns are, but I'd like to get that from the point of view of a client, right? One of your clients, uh-huh. right? Are your clients single people, I mean, individuals, or are they, you know, groups of people from a corporation who come to you, or do you have both of those types of clientele?
Both.
Okay.
I have both.
All right,
I work with teams and organizations
okay.
and individuals.
Okay, let
as well.
Me see. Mm-hmm. Let's talk of one, an individual, all right?
Okay.
That comes to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, could be any level, could be a CEO, whatever, any level.
Mm-hmm.
One, a case that sparks your interest because of the not difficult, but the challenging nature to the way you had to work with him. That you needed, mm-hmm. say, for example, different tools to communicate with this person because, you know, mm-hmm. nothing was working or something. Something, give us an idea of how you work with them from intake. I'm going to your website or wherever mm-hmm. I understand where I can get in touch with you to mm-hmm. have you coach me. And I see something, right? Do I see something that I could pick and choose and pay for, or is there contact me?
Well, you know, a lot of people come to me and they're not really sure what this is for, what they're needing.
Right.
And it's my job to hold up that mirror, is to listen for those inflections, is to really take them into that deep place within themselves. So mm-hmm. for example, some people would be like, I just want to be fitter. And then we realize that after an hour of conversation that they're really not happy at home with their spouse and they're on the brink of divorce.
So
right?
What,
and the first initial call was,
I get that.
Right.
So
I want to lose 15 pounds.
And already they're cured. After that 1 hour, they've understood.
Well, it's acceptance first,
Yeah,
you got to come to what the truth is. What is that emptiness first?
Sure. So let's say that.
Those hormones? Right.
Yeah, of course. So you are giving them a consultation, initial consultation to understand who they are, what they want, how, you know, to get the basics. All right. So.
To see if we are a good fit for each other.
Right. So let's say that you decide you are a good fit because it represents a challenge. A person that you're going to talk about now, you know, Mr. X or Miss X. Why was that a challenge for you? How did you go about the challenge? And how long did it take? Was it typically a monthly, weekly, twice, you know, bi-monthly? How, just to get an idea of how you work.
So when I work with people, we have an initial consultation,
right?
And what I'm looking for is are they getting value from me as a coach, first and foremost? If they're not getting value, then, you know, then I might not be the person for them. But I want to make sure that there is some insight that happens, some understanding of, oh, I've been doing it this way, but I want to do it this way. So we make sure that that happens first. And then usually I work with people for 6 months to a year, maybe a lot of times a lot longer, for years.
Do you meet them, excuse me, Chris, do you meet them weekly at times, or does that vary?
Well, I look at it like this. It's not session to set. We do have sessions scheduled per month, but I'm on your team for this year. So if there's one-off phone calls, emails, texts, different articles I found, different podcasts that might help them along their journey getting to where they want to go. The first is establishing and accepting where they are right now, and then creating those action steps to get them where they're looking to go to, like you said, shift those habits, change those perspectives, understand that those things in life that happened for them were actually gifts. And a lot of people have a hard time with that. They might have had something really horrific happen that they wouldn't wish upon anybody in their past, but it's part of my job to extract the gifts and the superpowers that they might have gotten from those hard times.
Yeah.
All of those hard times. Mm-hmm. And so we get to look at those and say, how can we hold these in a different way? How can we accept them, right? Because we can't change them.
Go,
what did you get and gain? What were the lessons that came from this?
Right, right.
How are you now the man or the woman you are because of those things that happened for you?
Do you coach mainly men or women? Do you have an idea?
I both. Yeah, I have. Right now it's about balanced, about 50-50. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. What about age group, the cohorts? Do you have, who's the youngest? What level are we at the youngest and the oldest?
I mean, I've worked with 20 and 30 year olds that are trying to start up their career or find
something that really sparks them.
But right now I have a handful of executives and from 50 to 70, I have a couple 40 year olds.
Anyone who's depends where they are. Working life. Nobody really who is retired.
Oh no, I actually have a lot of retirees. That's a fun one to work with.
Okay, there you go. Tell us about
retirees.
It.
Retirees, because what happens, what I found is a lot of people that have led these amazing careers in life, they get to the end and it's time to retire, and it's like, what do we do now?
Oh my!
You know, I just had this amazing career.
Yeah.
Well, again, it is, but for a lot of them, there's a lot of anxiety and a void that's there.
Yeah.
So how do we help them focus on more purpose, create a new higher purpose, not necessarily a new career, but a new higher purpose so that there's fulfillment there?
Yeah.
Because if they're waking up every day and doing the same thing,
yeah,
it's not necessarily fulfillment for
so
them.
A
lot of them can't even see that.
You mentioned higher purpose, and when I couch the words higher purpose almost always in a spiritual sense, and I'm wondering how much that filters into your work, the spiritual side to life. Do you find yourself coaching in spiritual terms, in the sense of meaning, life, purpose, these kinds of key words that are often used in spiritual talks?
When I feel that's what everyone is eventually looking for. If as humans, we start off and what I said earlier about climbing our first mountain, right? We'll use this metaphor again. We're doing a job, we're making money, we're buying a house, we got our cars, we're taking our vacations. And then what it comes down to is, what is that second mountain? that really is about fulfillment, that really is about being in service, right? Mm-hmm. That is able to use what you have acquired and all these things over the years. What are your gifts? What are your passions? And how can you use those to be in service? Because I think once we understand and we can really be in service to whether it's the earth, whether it's other humans, you know, a certain type of person, you know, a niche or something, then I think that's when our hearts really open. Is when we can find that. And a lot of people will come just at the beginning without really knowing that, but eventually we get them to this place.
Do you find that people are a bit reluctant to talk about their emotions? Because any change underlies an emotional process, right? Emotions underlie change, usually. And like you said before in your example, you said a person came to me and they wanted to lose weight, but then we found out, you know, they were so unhappy in the relationship and all of that. And I'm wondering how easy it is for people to make that connection between an outside, you know, so to speak, desire, and then, you know, their emotional situation, private emotional situation. Does that come up often?
All the time. That's what this whole thing is rooted upon, right? As a coach, here's the difference. A coach, we're working on where we are right now and what are the action steps we're taking to get to the future. Yes, we're touching on the past a little bit. But again, if we're getting back into patterns, right, and we're trying to disrupt those patterns, we get to go into those emotions. We get to experience what vulnerability is, what authenticity is, and allow ourselves to feel that, allow ourselves to be with that, to understand what is happening within us. And when we can do that, that's when the true growth starts to happen, right? But it's about having the courage to actually feel those feelings, to go into those feelings and go, okay, there's something here that I need to experience. Because I think in the middle of those emotions, even if they're like shadow emotions, below the line, ones that we don't feel good, in the middle of those is where freedom lies. And it's a matter of going into those and experiencing those so that we can make the shifts. We can understand that, hey, this is happening and I'm going to embrace this as opposed to pushing it down again.
So we have more than 20 years experience, as we mentioned in the beginning. You have more than 20 years experience in coaching. And so as a writer, it's obvious to me, well, where's the book? When are you going to get pen to paper, put pen to get, where's that black on white? Have you tossed the ideas around of writing?
I sure have,
Okay, I thought. So
I write every single morning. Yeah, I write every single morning a few pages and just different things that come up, but it's in the process.
Okay, so you do have something like an outline or a draft title, know how many chapters, stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I don't necessarily, the book isn't, what I do have is workshop series that I that I have.
Okay,
so,
good.
In other words, a series of workshops, that we're able to really get in and
systematize,
teach people, allow them to share. Exactly. So once I'm able to extract that workshop series and put it in pen to paper, then the book will come.
A year and
next.
A half.
Oh, is that what you're feeling? Okay. Yeah. All right.
A year if you're quick.
A year.
Your wife helps.
I know, right? I know.
Yeah, well, it's not, writing is tough. You know, it's a difficult. You should find a writing coach. They'll be after you.
All right.
It's interesting. It's a very, very interesting process because the what writing does when you actually put the pen to paper or your fingers on that keyboard is you learn so much about your ideas, and they change as you think of them, you know, and it's a good exercise. It's a good exercise for your practice, you know, and for your coaching practice, because you'll see that when you express ideas of what you're doing, or in the mornings when you get up and you do write down a couple of ideas, you surprise yourself with what perhaps comes out in those thoughts that you didn't necessarily know right away, you know? That's interesting. This is interesting. This is an interesting thing. I'll have you back when that when you get the, when you're ready to birth the book.
I'll be there. Yeah, no.
You talk about weaknesses,
and you know, yeah. I've always loved getting in front of people and speaking and doing that.
Other people who are right. I mean, I've always worn glasses in my life at a very young age. So reading for me, I prefer audiobooks, for example. Yep. But there's a certain amount of the memory works differently when you listen to things and when you see things in writing.
Yeah, for
and sure. And so, mm-hmm. you know, we are all different. Some people are visual, some people are not. But this is, you have probably your own way. The thing is that it's slower and it forces mm-hmm. you to be in the moment of the thought. Because talk really yeah. is cheap, isn't it? I mean, we are shooting the breeze. You know, we're telling everybody what we do, right? But when you, before you close that book and you think, okay, I can send it off into the world, you will die a 1,000 deaths. I can't. It's not me. I can't do it. I have to change that word on page five.
Right.
But it's a nice exercise.
And that's what.
Yeah.
Yeah, and those are the emotions that you get to look at when they come up, and I'm sure I'll be calling you when that right? Okay, this is happening. This is real. I'm really feeling this.
No, you are. No, this is exciting. No, because it makes you grow so much that you will then see your position in review as a coach, you know? God, the mirror. You know? But it's nice. It's an interesting thing. I of course we could go on and on, but I have to say, and I have to ask you, because I mentioned it before, a topic that you listed was modern masculinity and integrated feminine. Mm. Now I mm-hmm. would like to hear what you meant about that. I mean, what is, I feel so sorry for men sometimes. Right. When I was a child, I'm the second child. My name is Claudia. It wasn't supposed to be Claudia. It was supposed to be Alberto. I grew up thinking, oh, well, you know, I really would like to see what it would be like to be a man. I got rid of that as I matured.
Yeah.
And then I think of men today and I think, oh my God, they probably have such a crisis of their identity. I can see with all, you know, these modern things that are happening, modern women and what does it mean to be a man? Tell us what you had planned or what you do talk about when you talk about that topic.
Yeah. It's a really
interesting
one.
He's starting to cry. You see the tears?
I am in tears right now as she's speaking. See what you brought up in me? You know, I mean, but honestly, I think that's a big part of it is understanding our emotions, is emotional tolerance, right? Mm-hmm. You know, as men and growing up where I grew up in the States on the East Coast, it was very blue collar, you know, be an athlete, put down your emotions, don't show anybody that you're feeling, you're weak and da 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 da. And that's not who I was. I was a really sensitive young kid. You know, and it wasn't till I got out here and I started interacting with men's teams, like organizations and, you know, what is masculinity?
Yeah.
What is this? And leadership development, that it was about, you know, not showing up and being victimized by your emotions, but owning your emotions. Right.
So
like being authentic and real with what is surfacing. But not putting it in a place of it's holding me back. It's actually helping us grow.
Wait. Now I think we're jumping ahead without knowing it. So what you're saying is you started with the tears. You know, we were joking about the tears. And you say, yes, but it's all about emotions. Do you mean that integrating the feminine, a man mm-hmm. integrating the feminine has to do with the sphere of emotions? Is this what you mean?
So I think it could be fear of emotions. It could be fear of creativity. It could be that whole right brain. You know, as men, I think we're taught a lot. Not all men, by the way. I was taught how to be a solid businessman, an athlete, a tough. You know, when something came up, you would fight it, right? As opposed to learn to kind of dance with it and understand that this is happening for us. These people and situations that coming that are in my life right now are happening to show me where I'm not free. Right? Well, the ones that are triggering me.
I know, but you see what this is, this happens way back when. And then you get married and you have your children, you don't sleep at night, and all of a sudden all those emotions are right there where you need them. and you learn that well, this is the man. The man is, you know, waking up at night. And it sort of changes your family life and children, you know, getting down to taking care of human beings, does really overturn. That disrupts a pattern. It disrupts your masculine pattern. And sooner or later, you know, you are faced with it so strong on. I mean, you get literally smacked with it. You know, you have to have your emotions in check when your son or your daughter comes home and they just didn't, you know, everybody was picking on them and they start crying and then you start crying with them. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of, in the emotional life, I'm, you know, blabbering, but I imagine that a man who is in the family life, unless they are so involved with their job that they don't have, they don't participate, they just don't participate in their family life. Because I see that one of the topics is fathering and being a husband of 16 years.
Right.
If you are in a father position, that emotional side to your human story is comes out so strong, whether we like it or not, almost, don't you think?
Well, it just depends on what type of father you when we talk about disrupting patterns, right? I can sit here and cry in front of my kids, but I'm not going to be am I going to be taken down by those emotions? Oh. Right? When my son, who's 15, has you know, he's a surfer, he's, you know, has a ton of great friends, pretty popular, he can come home and go, I need to release something. I'm feeling this way, and have a good cry and let something come out. And I not once do I say you shouldn't feel that. I give him a high five for that, for allowing that to come out. Because what I think a lot of men are programmed to do, and some women, by the way, is bury those emotions, right? And hold those emotions in. Some of those emotions are shame and guilt, right? Fear, anxiety. When you hold those things in, they grow in power, right? And they create a disease within the body, right?
You know,
so what happens when you're in your 40s and 50s, if you're holding those emotions in, your body is in a state of disruption, a state of disease, which creates disease, right? Yeah. And so this is about us understanding and finding a place that we can let these things go in a safe manner, right? In a safe manner. Again, I say this, not being victimized by your emotions, owning your emotions.
Yeah.
There's a big difference there.
Yeah, sure. I have a really great idea for these emotions to come out. I pick out the worst tearjerker movies. It works all the time. The tears just come down. I suggest it to everyone.
Totally. You know, I teach a breathwork class too, which is a deep breathing class that lasts about 45-minute class, and they
is
can get
online,
a free one off my website,
or is it
if they
in
like
person?
You can get it on my website. They can get it free. They can get it for free if they want. But you want to talk about letting emotions go?
Yeah.
That does it every single time. And by the way, this, like a lot of special ops training, they're using these type of breath work programs to help train their special ops people, the SEALs and so on and so forth.
So
that they're not holding these emotions in high stressful situations.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. If you're burying something and you're in a, whether you're a CEO or a businessman or a special ops or whatever high pressure you're coming into, you don't want to be taken down by it. So why not understand those things that are coming up, right? If you can understand those and hold those in a certain way, you're going to be performing in a better way in your life. And that's what it comes down to, is really grasping this and moving forward along this journey that we're all on.
Chris, I'm in the episode description, I'm going to include, of course, your website, Chris Plourde. .com. It's Plourde, and all of the rest. Is there a specific invitation you can make to my audience to say, look, come to my website on this page, blah, 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 something that they would find interesting and just mm-hmm. as a, you know, call to action here.
Right, right. So a couple of things. I already said the breath work. They could get that. There's also a mental fitness page that mm-hmm. they can look at that is a six-week program that I run every few months that we can get together in pods and really help them understand how to work from that left survival brain to the right survival brain.
By pods, get together in pods.
Well, we do small group training, small group coaching.
You mean pod
through
like
something?
Mm-hmm. Do you mean a small
like,
group?
We get to, like teams. Yeah. We'll have like a weekly okay. meeting. Mm-hmm. You know, we mm-hmm. all get together and discuss certain topics that come up. And this is through mm-hmm. a positiveintelligence.com. They can run an assessment.
Good.
And really understand. Again, we talked about these voices in our head, right? The saboteurs or the judge and the sage or that.
These are.
You know, and we're trying to come from a place of more compassion, creativity, you know, a place of action, as opposed to just reacting off of certain things that most people do is they're just in survival, getting through the day. And mm-hmm. it's, and what we're looking to do is really create some this beautiful life that we all deserve to live.
What I like that you just mentioned about 3 minutes ago, you said we, and 7 or 8 minutes ago, you said we need to dance around them, you know, and you know the provocateur, the saboteur, they're all fears, and we all have them, and that's interesting because, like you say, if you pinpoint them and at least recognize them, then that's half of the job done. Interesting,
right there. Yep. Yeah. As long it's naming them first and foremost. And once we get to put a name to them, then you're able to work with them.
Yeah.
But a lot of people feel these things and they have no idea.
Yeah. I don't know how to thank you for taking your time and coming here and talking to us. And like I said, I really do want to have you back. When you have the title and it's black on white, you write to me and then we'll come back and talk about it.
Okay. Thank you so much for having
me.
Bye-bye,
really
Chris. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.